He looked half puzzled and half relieved, though I couldn't understand why. "Bien," he said at last. "I was mistaken, yet it is strange. But no matter." And with a characteristic shrug, he dismissed whatever was worrying him. I thought he was wasting his time over the coffee, but I decided not to say anything. He might be old, but he had once been a great detective. "Breakfast is ready," said John Cavendish, as he came in from the hall and invited Poirot to stay. John looked like his usual self again. He had spent the morning sending telegrams, including one to Evelyn Howard, writing notices for the papers, and dealing with all the necessary tasks following a death. "Do you think my mother died a natural death?" he asked Poirot. "Or was it something else?" "You must not have any false hopes," replied Poirot. "What do the other family members think?" "Lawrence thinks we're making a fuss over nothing. He says it's heart failure." "That is very interesting. Very interesting," said Poirot softly. "And Mrs. Cavendish?" John looked faintly troubled. "I don't know what my wife's view is." We were silent for a while. Then John said, "It's very difficult now that Mr. Inglethorpe's returned. It does make me feel sick to think that we're having a meal with a possible murderer." "I understand," said Poirot sympathetically. "Mr. Inglethorpe did not return last night because he had forgotten the latchkey. Is not that so?" "Yes." "You are sure that he did not take it?" "I have no idea. We keep it in the drawer in the hall. I'll see if it's there now." Poirot smiled faintly and stopped him. "No, Mr. Cavendish, it is too late now. If Mr. Inglethorpe took it, he has had enough time to replace it by now.